going to look at the ideas of God's plan and God's promises. And then we talked about God and his providence for our lives. And today we're going to hear another step, and that is in regard to God and his prayers that we offer to him. Prayer is such an important thing to God. You can scarcely read the Bible in any particular amount of time, but what you see in prayer by a prophet, prayer by a teacher of God's word there being invoked. You see prayers all through the book of Psalms, of course, because David's writing a man of prayer, and he would be writing about why pray and what to pray about. In Psalm 73, he talks about how God's will is to be done in our lives, and how that his prayers seems like they have not been heard by the Lord. Psalm 73 is kind of a transition psalm for us, because he says, O Lord, you don't see as I see the wicked, and how that they are against you, and how they perpetrate their ways against you. And he said, you just don't see that, and you don't do anything about it. It looks like that they get away with it everywhere that they turn. They are hypocrites in their ways, and they are vile in their deeds, and yet there's nothing that occurs to them. He says, this I thought about, and he said, Psalm 73 at verse 12, this was too heavy a thought for my mind. I wearied myself about this. And then he answers that question about why, when he says, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Psalm 73, 12 through 14 explains to us how that he had a change of mind. I went to the sanctuary of the Lord where the reading of the Word of God was being done, and the discussion about that Word of God was being held. And there I understood the way of the wicked, how that thou, O Lord, did set them in slippery places. You've heard my story before, no doubt, somewhere along the way in a gospel meeting or here earlier in the sermon series about subjects like this. But it bears repeating again because it is funny as it can be, but also it is just, we can all see it take place. For a long, long time, there were a Wonder Bread company over in Clarksdale, Mississippi. And a man would get over there early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning and so forth. They would load up their trucks and they would carry those things to the local stores and so forth. Ruval, we lived in Ruval in Sunflower County, and there had come through the night an ice storm of sorts. The rain and the coldness had been there, and the ice had just flowed over. Now, the Ruval folks were wise in their ways, in some ways at least. And when they fixed up those streets there downtown, they fixed them up so that they would be high in the middle, where people would park sometimes there, and the delivery trucks particularly. But they would also rescind on down to the curb. And of course, in the curb, you'd catch the runoff of the rain that would come up. It hit high, but it'd run on down. Well, of course, what had run on down this time was it was cold enough to be ice that had run on down. Icy. Well, a good lady of the town, very, very smartly dressed always and everything, had gone into Mr. Roy's grocery, who was right there on Main Street. She had picked up a few eggs and a few gallon of milk and some bread, natural things for how long this thing is going to last. And she came to the checkout lady and she checked it out, and Mr. Roy himself was standing up there, and he said, you mind if I take this bag of items to the car for you, because it's really outside. I put some salt out there, but unbeknownst to him, the salt itself had frozen. And that was extra slick right there outside the door. And she said, oh no, I'll take it myself. This is no real weight, and you need it for somebody else. She said, I'll take it myself. And with that, with her bag of groceries in her hand, eggs and milk and all, she heads toward the front door. And when she opens that door and steps her first step out, she realizes that the salt is now frozen and the ice is there, and she begins to skate upon it, whereas she goes up into the air, and you can imagine what happened to the bag. It ripped, and everything is broken, and everything's coming out, and it's all over her, and it's all over the pavement right there. The IT&T man from Wonder Bread had delivered his truck right there to the middle of that street. And he had about 7 pallets of bread. And he was pulling those pallets out with this auger that he had. And one by one by one, he thought he'd make just one trip in and have all 7 pallets in his hands. And so he was just, no weight to that bread at all to speak of. He was just pulling them out. And he had just gotten the last one out and turned with his load in his hands to see her up in the air, feet flying, shoes coming off, the bag ripping, and wham, down she went with it on top of her. And he began to laugh. He couldn't help himself. It was the funniest sight that he had seen in a long time. And as he did, he took a step and he slipped too. And when he slipped, he had a bigger problem, because not only did one pallet come down, but all 7 pallets were out of his hands. And there were about 40 loaves of bread on each one of those pallets, so they all began to hit the ice on the street and skate on down to the curb. And so he had a problem getting it up to begin with, and he had a problem getting the bread back onto the pallets. That's the description of what happens in a slippery place. And when David here in Psalm 73 says, I went to the sanctuary of the Lord, I heard the word of God explained. In the explanation of it, I understood the way of the wicked. That, Lord, you set them into slippery places. It's going to happen at the most unsuspecting time. Somebody not obeying God and following the Lord's way is going to be seen. And sad to say, instead of it being a joke that we would say of seeing somebody skate on ice and come up and down, it's going to be a serious, deadly serious thing when the wicked find themselves suddenly cast down, David says. If we find our lives without prayer, we're going to find ourselves disobeying God. We're going to find ourselves terrible in situations. We're going to find ourselves without power and strength to get out of them. We're going to find ourselves sad. Let's be people of prayer, determined to be, as God's word has taught us in his word, that we should be people of prayer. First off, consider that Jesus said about prayer. He said you resist temptation better when you pray. In Matthew 26 and at 41, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Notice this is a command of the Lord. It's an expectation of him. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What I want to do, what in my mind's eye, I want to do the right thing. I want to serve God. I want to go to heaven when this life here on earth is over. But because of the temptation that I face, and without being watchful and prayerful, though my spirit may be willing to do God's will, my flesh will call upon me to yield to that way of life that is not righteous and not good and not holy and not going to take me to heaven at all. And I'm going to go that particular route. Let's be people then who are watchful and prayerful. As noted back in Proverbs 27 and at verses 12 and 13, the prudent man foreseeth danger and guardeth himself, hideth himself. But the simple man, the man without understanding, he finds himself going on and he finds himself in destruction. Let's be people then who are watchful about. There are certain people in our lives that bring us to temptations that we don't have at other times. There are certain situations, there are certain places we go that bring us to temptations that we don't have virtually anywhere else. There are certain activities in life of which we're engaged with somebody that are highly tempting to us that we don't have with others at all. Let's be people who watch and see where we are with that person, that place, that event, and guard ourselves better and be prayerful about it. He said, watch and pray. Many people do one or the other. They watch, but they don't pray. Or they watch very vividly and they find themselves without the words of prayer that are invoked. Let's be people then who do pray about it. In Acts chapter 8, where would Simon the sorcerer have been without his repenting and praying to God, as Peter told him to do? Remember, he wanted the power of the apostleship. He had made his life filled with things of magic and honored that way. And as a result, when he saw the real power from the apostles that had come there to Samaria and laid their hands upon individuals, he found himself wanting to have the real deal. He offered them money, said, if you give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive this Holy Ghost. He didn't know much about the Holy Ghost, but he saw some great power that these men had. And he saw the opportunity that he could to offer them what he had in money to buy this. Peter says, thy money perish with thee. Thy heart is not right with God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that the thought and intent of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Indeed, this man had decided to do something that was not a righteous conduct on his part. What could he do? Go back and be rebaptized. He was already a baptized believer. And he was there in that congregation seeing the people who had. He didn't have hands laid upon him, apparently. And if he had, he still wanted the power of the apostleship to lay hands upon others. And that was not his to have. But if he repented and prayed that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him, he wouldn't say what he was saying. He wouldn't do what he was fixing to do. He would find his heart being forgiven by God, because in his heart he regretted thinking the gift of God could be purchased with money. When we are people who repent and pray, we find ourselves coming back to the way of the Lord. And sometimes in our lives, because of the temptations to sin and do wrong in our day, this is a wonderful thing every day in our lives, every night time before we go to sleep. Our words to the Lord about our regrets for doing this or that or the other and yielding to that temptation once again are serious words, and they are heard by the Lord. And the thought and intent of our heart, the deepest kind of things about our speech, the thought and intent of our heart, can be forgiven us. It will be forgiven us if from the heart we have intentionally asked the Lord's blessing in this matter. This is repeated in the words of John in 1 John 1 and at 9, when he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do we find here? If I will confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me. He not only puts it away from me, he cleanses the deep-seated effect of the darkness of sin that's been a part of my daily walk of life. Let's be people of prayer. No wonder it will be Paul who writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Don't forget that this is a part of every day of our lives, every evening of our time, every morning when we awake and in our right minds we think and we thank God for the freshness of this day and the freshness of a wonderful opportunity to serve Him and for the blessing that He has been to our lives thus far. Sometimes when we go to sleep at night, we don't think about a problem that has been answered already. And when we wake up in the morning, we think about that problem, we realize that that was yesterday, and that problem may really have been solved. That problem has gone its way. That problem is not going to have a deep-seating effect upon me today. As a result of that, what am I going to do? I'm going to find a new walk of life and a new way of life that is blessed by God Himself. So I thank Him every morning for the opportunities and being awake and being alert. And you know that it's important for us to pray at night before we go to sleep. I've talked to brethren who talk about times that they get so busy in their day and in their evening time that the first time that they get to rest, they drop off to sleep in the prayer that they make at nighttime. They just are so tired. They just get rested there and they don't remember ending the prayer. And I've said to more than one, I believe the Lord knows our intent of our heart. I believe He knows what our prayer would have been fully stated. He sees the reference to our heart. What a blessing it is to have that way of life that we do when we pray without ceasing. God and the ways of prayer. Will it take the place of my salvation? Well, let me ask you in the examples that we find here in the scripture. Did the Lord tell them to watch and pray that they be saved? Or did He tell them to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation? If we find ourselves doing God's will and God's way, we'll find ourselves on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 doing like they did in repentance and baptism into Christ. We'll find ourselves doing like Paul did when he was a man who was sorrowful about his sins and prayerful about them in Acts 22. Ananias said, "Why do you tarry? Why do you tarry in prayer now? Because you need to be right with the Lord. And if you would arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins, you'll be made right with the Lord." So it is that he did that. And in Romans chapter 6, he refers back to that time he was baptized. "Do you not know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with Him by baptism into His death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life." Paul, what did you do with these brethren there at Rome? We were buried with Him by baptism into His death. We were raised to walk in newness of life. That's the way that you begin that newness of life with Him. And in that newness of life, I have no doubt in my mind what he has reference to is the fact that in that newness of life, you have a relationship with Him. Whereas if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. And like in the instance of Simon there in Acts 8:22, in repentance and prayer, the Lord will forgive the thought and intent of his heart so that the words of his mouth would be totally different as he walked along in life's highway from that day on. Yes, the Bible tells us that this is the way for us to live and behave, a way of prayer in our daily walk. Let's do that without failure. If you would turn back to the Bible, to the songbook rather, from the Bible with me now, to the closing verse of 167. If you stand with me. Why fill the garden's dreadful dross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loved me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. This I know, he gave himself to die for me. Because he loves me so. Think about your relationship with the Lord and His way, and think about that opportunity you have to serve Him. Remember at any time of the day or night. you may choose to obey the gospel of Christ if you've not done so, and we'll help you. We'll hope that along the way, as we this morning at 4 o'clock turn the water heater on for our baptistry to have warm water, whether you have warm water or not, we'll immerse you in Christ, and you'll be a new person walking a new way of life from that day on. All the past will be forgiven. Would you turn, if we close our service today, with this song, 359. And we'll sing the first verse of 359. And then Brother Dickerson will lead us in our closing prayer today. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I go and empty-handed thus, my dear Redeemer, me? Not one door with service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go.
Thank you.
I'm so blessed in my life. I always choose songs for a sermon anyway. It's just so natural for me to have thank you. Yes. Come on, girl. Come on. Good to see you today. God bless. Good to see you today.
Good to see
you, man. Be in touch. God bless you. Good to be with you.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Every way. Take care of yourself and everything. Lamont, take care of yourself. Keep on going. Keep on doing. Braden, let me see it, man. Let me see it. Yeah. I know it looks big, but your hand's not that big. Yeah, they make it that big to keep you from bumping into other things, breaking.
How much longer you got to go?
About three. Two weeks.
Okay.
About 2 weeks now.
That time school's out.
Then good to see Kobe.
No one's even out there yet.
Good to see you, girl. Appreciate you so much. God bless your prayer life.
Lord, it's got our grass growing. And
yes, it is. We're going to be cutting tomorrow. Good to see you. It's dry now a little bit.
Yeah,
to see. We couldn't do it. We had wet, kind of like a bottom place out in the front yard. On the side too. God bless you.
It might be breaking through there.
Appreciate you, guy.
Thank you.
God bless you, man, every way.
Thank you. Good.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you. Come on, here. All right. You're contrary. You got some stuff. You got some stuff, though. Toby's doing good. She's doing good. She's done well all morning. Good to see you today. God bless you in every way. Appreciate you, lady. Appreciate you, Taylor. Good to be with you today. Keep on keeping on. God bless you. Appreciate you. Yep. She's looking for you up that way. She is indeed. Yep. All right.
All right.
You walk in those high heel shoes, you don't run in those high heel shoes. My high heel boots and everything, I didn't run in them, but good to see you, boy. You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I helped some people last week. Thank you a lot. Be careful as you run in high heel shoes. All right.
My daughter asked me.
Did she forget something? All right.
Next Sunday.
Appreciate you.
Boy, she can go in those shoes, can't
you? Yeah. Yep, she's there.
Heels and all.
Oh. I ran in boots until I couldn't run at all.
Yeah. That's all right.
Good to see you.
And I'm going to tell her not to put too much in everything in.
Yeah.
And
that'd be good.
See, I give my granddaughter $20 to do it for me.
That's all right.
Golly, all right. Mate.
I get the eye credit. You're getting shorter and shorter.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm 2 inches shorter than I was.
And you wasn't. Sliding down.
And I know I hadn't, I mean, when they measured me,
it happens. As old as I am, you would probably up
to the doctor's office, and I'm the same height as I was. I'm not the same weight as I was.
I found it in somebody else's too. Amen. Hope
it's... Y'all done got it counted?
Got it.
Good to be with y'all today. What about Arthur Butler and the...
We're still hanging in there.
Yeah. You're on a high place. You didn't have the water to bother you, did you? There. Yeah. But boy, the others, and I was concerned last Sunday when we had all the extra rain, as we had that on that levee down there. Lots of damage. But God bless y'all. Thank y'all for singing with me and everything and all the worship. Good.